Dollar fraud. Jurors will deliberate whether federal authorities can seize $330 million from nearly 30 accounts he controlled. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
With a modest adjustment to your daily routine, you can decrease your risk for heart disease and increase your sense of well-being. Writing a prescription is easy. Just take two well-fitted shoes, add some comfortable clothing, include a few stretching exercises, followed by a 30-minute walk once a day, most days of the week. Oh, and remember, there is no copay, and refills are unlimited. Sound Shore Medical Center encourages you to speak with your healthcare professional before starting any exercise routine.
Our weather forecast for your Thursday calls for fair skies and mild weather for today. A little bit of a cool down coming our way on Friday and Saturday. And starts to warm up again from Sunday right up through Wednesday of next week. We see temperatures back above normal by some significant degrees, and it's going to be quite warm until the middle of next week. In the meantime, quite warm today, too. We've got sunny weather for the morning hours, partly sunny for the afternoon, or highs upper 60s to near 70. There'll be some showers about tonight. Weather front moving through. Overnight low temperatures will settle back into the lower 40s. Some of those winds out of the southwest, 15 to 20, gusting to 45. And wind advisories are possible for later today and tonight. Now, daytime on Friday, it'll be mostly sunny, a much cooler day. Highs will reach to the upper 40s to around 50 in gusty northwest winds tomorrow. Clear skies at night, back to around 28. Saturday features sunshine, temperatures into the mid-40s, a range of about 42 to 47. And on Saturday night, it'll be mostly clear, down to around 30. Sunday features sunshine, back into the middle 50s. Monday, it'll be early clouds and chance of an afternoon or evening shower. Highs will reach to the upper 50s. Tuesday back to partial sun with our daytime highs, mid to upper 50s again, and back to near 60 on Wednesday of next week. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Every day, New Yorkers depend upon the clean and reliable electricity provided by Indian Point. On an average day, Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester at lower cost than other power plants and helps our efforts to improve air quality. You have a right to know the facts about Indian Point, because when talk turns to extending the licenses of these plants, we all need to remember how important Indian Point is to New York. For instance, did you know that without Indian Point's lower-cost power, our electric rates would be much higher, and that an equivalent gas-fired power plant would pour millions of tons of pollutants a year into the air we breathe, and that the independent experts in charge of New York's electric grid have said that the city could face rolling blackouts without Indian Point? I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
Hello, New York. This is Bill O'Shaughnessy, and this is the spot. This is the place on the radio dial. Welcome once more to your own WVOX, the most influential station in New York State, for you and yours. A labor of love every day, I can tell you, and every night at 1460 and WVOX.com, now broadcasting all over the world.
Good morning. Welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levinsohn, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, March 8th, 2012, the 78th day of winter. Next time we meet on March 22nd will be the third day of spring. And I forgot to look at my calendar, but if I'm not mistaken, daylight savings time joins us before then. If I am, shame on me. And do you know what spring is? It is glorious. That's what it is. We have had a wonderfully mild winter. I was up in Massachusetts earlier in the week where they had substantial snow, perhaps a week ago, and it was cold with some snow left on the ground. colder than anything we've had in our area this entire winter. Our good fortune. Those who sell shovels and ice melt, not so much. We have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 38 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. Spring arrives on March 20th in 1 week and 5 days. The sun rose at 6:17 this morning. It will set at 5:55 this afternoon. We will have 11 hours and 38 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 6:39 this evening. It will set at 5:59 tomorrow morning. Astute observers will note that with all that nighttime presence of the moon, we are close to full moon. And guess what? Full phase is reached today. Oh! I love it when we get a full moon on the day of the broadcast. Next full moon is April 6th. Next high tides, I have bad news for you. There are no tides today. The sea will remain completely flat and level all over the world. Actually, I just didn't get the paper, so I cannot give you that information. My apologies. They will rise, but I can't tell you when. In fact, what I can tell you is that this morning at 7, when I was out doing my morning jog, it was dead low. So we're 3 hours past dead low, so we're, I suppose, halfway up, or part of the way up anyway. Okay, our regular feature, which is names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Corporal Connor T. Lowry, age 24, of Chicago, Illinois. He was with the 1st Marine Division. He was killed in combat in southern Afghanistan on March 1st. Also on March 1st, Staff Sergeant Jordan L. Bear, age 25, of Denver, Colorado. He was a Screaming Eagle with the 82nd Airborne Division, killed by small arms fire in Kandahar Province. And that same incident on March 1st, the third soldier to be killed on that day, was Private First Class Peyton A. Jones, age 19, from Marble Falls, Texas. On February 25th, Major Robert J. Marchanti, the second, age 48, from Baltimore, Maryland. He was with the Army National Guard. He was with the 29th Infantry Division, killed by small arms fire in Kabul, Afghanistan. And also on that same date, also killed in Kabul, probably the same incident, I can't be sure, was Lieutenant Colonel John D. Loftus, age 44, of Paducah, Kentucky. He was with the Air Force, 866th Air Expeditionary Squadron, also killed by small arms fire. My guess is that both officers, a major and a lieutenant colonel, were killed in the same incident. On the 23rd of February, two MPs were killed. They were from the same unit in the same incident. Sergeant Joshua A. Bourne, age 25, of Niceville, Florida, killed by small arms in Nangarhar, Afghanistan. He was with the Army's 16th Military Police Brigade, 18th Airborne Corps, and the other soldier from the same unit was Corporal Timothy J. Conrad, Jr., 22, of Roanoke, Virginia, also killed on the 23rd. These seven American service members were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Sergeant Bourne and Corporal Conrad, ages 22 and 25, respectively, beg your pardon, it was 25 and 22, I got it backwards, were killed on that day. There are many Americans in harm's way at this very moment. Perhaps Sergeant Bourne and Corporal Conrad were killed while we were on the air. Perhaps someone is being killed at this moment. I just like you to think of it as something that is right here, right now, and not some abstract name being read on the radio. 2 weeks ago, on the day of this broadcast, Sergeant Bourne and Corporal Conrad were killed. We don't know the time of day, but it could have been right smack in the middle of this program. And that could be happening now. We cannot know. We can only think of these men and the other men and women who have died at war far from home and of those who still serve, some of whom will surely be killed, and it pains me to say that. Each of these deaths is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future because there are no more deaths to report. Okay, time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them because everyone has the right to be wrong. Let's just start with the movie Hugo. Some people think that Martin Scorsese is one of our fine directors. For me, the jury is still out. Goodfellas was well enough done to establish him as a professional, but the kind of creative director whose pictures you must see, not yet. Hugo does fill the bill in some ways. It has its charm. It's visually quite interesting, but the story is fairly formulaic. The boy, Hugo, is believably intense, but the reason for that intensity didn't quite fly with me. Why was he so secretive? That's just one of the questions. Why did he refuse to discuss something which did not seem like a big deal secret to me? Sacha Baron Cohen is an interesting actor. He can play a range of characters well, and the tight-ass railroad security constable he is here comes uncomfortably to life as we realize just how mean he is. In fact, the shopkeeper, who later becomes a hero, is meaner than he should be as well, and only after we see how the plot goes do we understand that love softens everyone, and when frustration is released, one can relax. Really? I did not know that. So if you're going to retell familiar themes, give us more than devices, give us relationships that ring true. It seems to me as if Scorsese got caught between trying to direct well and telling a story. You have to do both. A well-directed film, which this mostly is, without a well-crafted story, which this mostly isn't, ultimately fails. Of the Oscar contenders for Best Film, the two I saw, this one and Steven Spielberg's War Horse, were not worthy. The Artist, the black-and-white silent film, which ultimately won, I did not see, but I did speak with two colleagues who did see The Artist. They found it interesting, but not particularly Oscar-worthy either. So even in a weak year, someone has to win. Hugo is worth renting when it is released, but not the $9 or $10 it will cost you at the box office. Good thing. Okay. That's Hugo. Now, the Westchester Broadway Theater's production of Swonderful, based on the Gershwin songs, they have a winner in this one. The production starts off with a whiz-bang number featuring Blakely Slaybaugh as Harold, singing and dancing to Nice Work, If You Can Get It. The singing is good, the dancing is great, the choreography outstanding. A couple of problems with two of the numbers from Porgy and Bess. Summertime is a beautiful song. Summertime, you know, summertime and the living is easy. Okay, I'll spare you the rest of it. It's a beautiful song as written. If you cannot improve on it, don't try. Just sing it and it works. Mary Milbin overstyles it, unfortunately. Summertime should be beautiful. It wasn't particularly well done here, I didn't think. It is interesting to note how different singers perform the national anthem before sporting events. Oh, say, can you see that Francis Scott Key's simple song is best as written, and so it is with Summertime. Some can interpret Summertime without compromising its haunting beauty. Ms. Milbin is not one of them. The other problem is with The Wonderful, It Ain't Necessarily So. Now, in Porgy and Bess, this song is introduced in the biblical context, which is appropriate for that song. It's a great song. In this musical, a character sends postcards saying how great her honeymoon and marriage are, and we discover that it wasn't necessarily so. But from postcards to a biblical reference, that doesn't work at all. That's no kind of segue. Some of us actually listen to segues, so indulge us, please. Then they amputate this very clever song, which deserves to be performed in its entirety, if at all. However, those criticisms aside, the five-person cast, three women and two men, all move and sing well. The less-than-stellar sound system at the Westchester Broadway Theater makes it difficult, regrettably, to truly evaluate the voices. But there's nothing to cloud the movement. Five of the six move very well, and Miss Milbin, whose voice is her strength, does what she has to do. Best is Blakely Slaybaugh. From scene one, where he plays a nerdy copywriter, it is clear that he has no real bones, just some rubber, where skeletons usually go. And Stacey Harris, ah yes, as Jane, drives her body like a vintage Jaguar, and it is just as finely shaped and tuned as that fine machine. Lovely as the trunk is on the Jag, it cannot compare with that of the beauteous Ms. Harris. When we chatted after the show, I told her my review would compare her to a Jag, and she didn't mind at all, so let us not hear from feminists. I just could not take my eyes off of her. We're going to have to take a break before I get to our guest and to my next review. So you're listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Worcester, Martha's Vineyard, Swampscott, Cowyard, Gayhead, or Boston, Massachusetts, Gumneck or Meat Camp, North Carolina, you have logged on to www.wvox.com and you are listening live, and we will be right back.
with business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, investor optimism about Greece's debt swap is boosting the markets here at home. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 45 points. Jobless claims unexpectedly rose to a five-week high. 351,000 people filed for first-time benefits last week, slightly higher than expected. Even with the increase, claims have remained under the key 400,000 mark for eight straight weeks. Employers announced plans to lay off nearly 52,000 people in February. That's according to outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. The firm said the pace of job cuts was down slightly from January, but up 18% over last year. And Fox Business's Charlie Gasparino has learned that Morgan Stanley is putting the broker connected to the alleged Upper East Side madam on administrative leave. Gasparino also reported that broker David Walker characterized his relationship with her as social and that he didn't know of her alleged illegal activities. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Before Allegra, Buddy wanted to walk around the whole park, but my allergies stopped me halfway through. After Allegra, I can go the distance.
For a medicine that works like nothing else, there's only one Allegra. It's the only allergy medicine that's both fast and non-drowsy. It has the power to relieve your toughest symptoms for 24 hours. In fact, it starts working in just 1 hour.
Now my sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes don't stand in the way of walks. After Allegra, I have it all. Right, Buddy?
Applies to first dose only among OTC brand and antihistamines. Use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is a crazy man.
WVOX Worldwide.
WVOX.
We are back. I have just one more quick review before we get to our guest today. This was rated P for Parenthood. It's an off-Broadway musical which succeeds. Parenthood from Soup to Nuts. The songs are catchy, funny, and to the point. This play is watchable, well-acted, well-sung by this talented cast of four who take on different roles as different parents. It's actually more a series of vignettes than one coherent play, but it touches the bases it needs to touch, and it does work. Taking turns, getting up to calm a crying baby in the middle of the night takes on a funny twist when mommy says, "It's your turn," and daddy is so tired he says, "I'll give you $50. Well, so she gets up for the $50. Then there's the dad who just wants to watch the football game, so he says yes to whatever they say to make them go away. Well, they are wise to that, so the kids save their special requests for football time. Clever, and cleverly done with the song as well. When a teenage daughter gets to discussing condoms and her mom has serious reservations about condoning sex, daughter explains, "The reason is I don't get pregnant when I am banging people." Funny and frank. Then there's teaching driving and getting ready for prom night. Dad has to meet the young man who will be his daughter's escort. "I am ready for prom night. I am ready for prom night. I am ready for prom night. But when the chips are down, I am not ready for prom night." You see it coming, but this play is well enough done to survive such predictability. The parents' first night out with a babysitter. The babysitters will be the grandparents. Granddad acts badly before the couple leaves, so they take the baby with them. Turns out it was planned by the grandparents all along, who really did not want to be on call as babysitters every Sunday. So after they're gone, he says, this is the grandfather, he says to his wife, "After they're gone, I'll erase some stuff from the DVR." That ought to do it. It is funny. It is a good play, and it's also touching. When a husband wakes up in the middle of the night realizing he did not pick up his suit for an important early meeting, he notices that his wife, who is fast asleep, has picked it up for him. So he sings her a number called Morning Love Song, which actually brings tears to your eyes. "I loved you from our first kiss, but true love is this." And that's just picking up the suit and taking care of your mate, and that's true love. Anybody can kiss you, but not everybody will pick up your suit. Haunting, beautiful, and touching. I highly recommend this play, rated P for Parenthood. It's playing at the West Side Theater on 43rd Street. If you like good, light, funny musicals, then I suggest you go and see it. It's not a big action type of musical with huge stories, but it is cute. It's not on Broadway, so it costs under $100 to get in, and I do recommend it to you. My guest today is Bruce Robey. He's a mechanical engineer, designer of medical devices, and a Massachusetts resident who is knowledgeable about the workings of hospitals and insurance companies, and as a Massachusetts resident, knows more about the Mitt Romney version of health insurance than most of us do. Joining us from North Andover, Massachusetts, welcome, Bruce Roby.
Hello, Bob. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. You are in North Andover. I got that right, didn't I?
You did. Got it right on the money.
See that? See that? I do my homework. How's the weather up there in North Andover?
Beautiful. It appears to be something close to late spring. Nice.
Yeah, it's the same here. But, of course, was it a week or two ago that you had a substantial snow, which we have not gotten?
Yep, but the snow's gone today, so we're happy.
Now, let's get into it. Most of us don't know anything about the Health Care Reform Act. People take sides based on emotion, not understanding. If they like Obama, they say, okay, we like it. If they don't like Obama, they say, we don't like it. It has nothing to do with the thing at all. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you can clarify for us what's in the bill, more or less, you know, as much as you know, and whether you think it is a good idea to have a national health care program.
Sure. So the way health care works here is everybody is required to get health insurance, and they have publicly available plans. You can go on the web and pick your options. Those options give you different things. Obviously, as you spend more money, you get more options for more things. As far as I can tell, the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act does the exact same kind of things. There's an analysis that somebody did, and they looked at the comparisons, and they said, it seems in many ways they seem to be very similar, which isn't a surprise because some of the same people were involved in both of them, at least as consultants to the different governments involved. So that's the deal. Basically, everybody's got to buy insurance. If you're too poor to be able to afford insurance, they push you into Medicaid, and the rest of us pay insurance.
Okay, so but taxes are going to pay for all that stuff anyway. I mean, we pay for things we have no idea we're paying for. So,
absolutely, we all pay Medicaid tax, and
Medicaid taxes and boondoggle projects in Alaska. You know, we all pay for that. Anything the federal government spends their money on. I mean, we support wars and charities, yep, that we might disagree with, and we just do that. That's what it is. So,
sure,
that's what our tax money does. Well, what percentage of the people in Massachusetts are covered? And by contrast, how are some of the other states in terms of people who are left behind?
Yeah, and so in Massachusetts, since this has been enacted, it's above 95% of the people have insurance.
95%.
In Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And that's been pretty stable over the last 4 years, even with the economic recession and everything, it's pretty flat. You know, it doesn't change very much. The other end of the spectrum, just by chance, happens to be Texas, where in Texas, more than a quarter of all the people are uninsured, according to a Gallup poll.
Okay, so let me ask you to speak more directly into the phone, Bruce, if you don't mind.
Sure.
What becomes of those 25%? There and the 5% in Massachusetts, if they have a genuine emergency, let's say they're hit by a car in traffic or they get cancer, what do they do? Do they just die in the street?
Hopefully not. They use emergency rooms, right? The standard view of things is people without health care avoid going to doctors probably even more than people with health care. But at some point, they recognize that they are too sick, and then they start to use the emergency rooms for things that aren't really emergencies. There are, you know, a lot of times they can be chronic conditions where people just don't take care of their chronic conditions, and so it gets so bad that they go to the emergency room because their diabetes got too bad or their asthma got too bad, and then it becomes a big deal.
Okay, we're gonna stop there just for a couple of minutes. We'll be back after the break, Bruce. Very interesting stuff. Just hang on, we'll be right back to you. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Podunk, Michigan, I thought that was Illinois, actually, Nimrod, Minnesota, Bobo, Darling, or Denmark, Mississippi, or Svendborg, Copenhagen, or Thisted, Denmark, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. I am Bob Lebensold. My guest is Dr. Bruce Robey, and the program is Environmentally Sound, and we will be right back.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. It looks like there may be rare agreement between the Obama administration and congressional Republicans on the Jobs Act being discussed on the House floor right now.
I strongly urge Senator Reid to take up this bill as quickly as possible, and let's just get it to the president's desk.
House Majority Leader Eric Cantor this morning. The proposal expected to get a floor vote today with support from Democrats.
I am pleased that we have been able to come together in a process that is providing some improvement.
Democratic Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts. A big storm 2 days ago on the sun sent off flares that are reaching us today. So what does that mean?
Satellites might experience single event upsets, you know, electronic failure. You could have radio blackout.
Solar expert Lika Guhathakurta of NASA. You may notice radio, TV, and GPS glitches. Fox News. We report, you decide.
This is an unsolicited testimonial, call it a commercial if you will, about a brilliant, dedicated young Mexican fellow. His name is Jesus Valencia, but he's one of the brightest, smartest, and hardest working tradesmen we've encountered. And especially what he does better than anyone we've found is roofing. He's like a Nureyev up there on the roof. He goes right to the problem and he fixes it permanently for a lot less than the big time roofing companies charge you. Jesus Valencia is his name. He's the best we've found in years at doing this. His number in Westchester for all kinds of roofing matters is 914-576-5596. I tell you, only the guy is really good. So I represent young Mr. Valencia to you only as a roofer who's bright and will work hard to fix up your roof. 576-5596.
Our community programs are brought to you today by Young and Bartlett, Westchester's leading law firm for negligence, personal injury cases, and medical malpractice. Relying on 55 years of legal experience, partner Francis X. Young and his legendary father before him have been great advocates, recovering millions of dollars for those unfortunate individuals who were injured in any way, including victims of medical malpractice, construction job site accidents, motor vehicle accidents, or defective products. Young and Bartlett are actual trial attorneys who stand right up for you and your rights in the courtroom. Partner Mayo Bartlett of this top-notch firm also specializes in civil rights cases and criminal defense. Calling on his many years as assistant DA under famed crime fighters Carl Vergari and Janine Pirro. Today, Young and Bartlett is at 81 Main Street in White Plains at Lexington, two blocks from Metro North. Attorneys Frank Young and Mayo Bartlett. Two great lawyers, two dedicated advocates. Check them out at young-bartlett.com or by calling 914-285-1500.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our weather forecast for today, calling for mostly sunny, breezy weather. Our highs will reach the upper 60s, near 70. It'll be southwest winds at 20 to 20 miles per hour, gusting up to 40 miles per hour at times this afternoon. For tonight, showers are likely. Overnight low temperatures in the lower 40s only, but then back to mostly sunny. Cooler conditions on Friday, closer to normal in the upper 40s to near 50 degrees. Again, gusty northwest winds. At night, it's going to be mostly clear in the upper 20s. Saturday features sunshine, mid-40s. Sunday, sunny, back into the middle 50s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Every day, every night.
We're number one for fun.
At work, at home.
WVOX Worldwide.
WVOX.
We are back. I am Bob Lebensold. My guest is Bruce Robey. This is WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. Program is Environmentally Sound. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're going to open up the phones if people would like to call in and speak about health care or the other things that we will talk about. You have Dr. Bruce Roby on the phone. His PhD is in mechanical engineering. He's in addition to being knowledgeable about health care, because that is his industry, he has developed a device which alleviates back pain, a surgically implanted device. We'll get to that in a little bit. If you would like to call in, we're at 914-636-0110 if you have anything to say about health care or anything else germane to my guest. Okay, Bruce, we're talking about health care, and we're trying to compare the Massachusetts with the national. You've already said that the people that have that drew up the one also helped with the other. So they're quite alike in some ways. Now, my concern is the people that are not covered, what happens to them? And you seem to be fairly reassuring that people are not going to die in the street. Would you say that more people, if there's more insurance coverage, if more people are covered, they will actually go to the doctor more often? They will, since it's not the hassle of an emergency room, they'll feel more respectable going to a private doctor. Do you think that will happen?
Well, what's actually happened, there's data out of Massachusetts, because what they did is the Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation started doing research on people's habits through a survey that they started before the original Health Care Act here was introduced and went live, so to speak. And so they put out a report, and the most recent one came out in January, and they found that people that were now on people insurance, there was an increase in those that would go see people before they start to have a problem. So there was an increase in preventative care visits. There was an increase in dental care visits. And interestingly, there was a reduction in the use of the emergency room.
Well, that would be automatic. I don't see why that's particularly surprising. I would think that would happen automatically, wouldn't it?
Well, according to the report, it's the first time it took. So the first set of data they had was 2006, before it was enacted. And the data they're talking about now is the end of 2010. And it took, and the healthcare bill in Massachusetts came in 2007, I think. So it took 3 years before you start to see changes in people's behavior. So one of the things that appears from all this is our behavior doesn't change instantly just because these laws get enacted regarding health care. It takes a while for the system to kind of adapt and for people to adapt to the new circumstances.
So are they adapting in Massachusetts according to what would be considered a positive routine?
Yeah, I mean, you get people going to see their doctors on a regular basis, and feeling comfortable that they can do that. They get involved in preventative care, which is a good thing for everybody in terms of costs. And they're not using the emergency room so much for non-emergency conditions.
So in the event that this the new health care bill, which we have, the new health care program, which we do have in America now, if it doesn't lose too many challenges and if it remains strong and robust, can we expect that same kind of result nationally?
I would guess. I mean, Massachusetts isn't Texas for sure, but you would think that you'll get some similar things. But what's obvious is that it's not going to happen overnight either, right? The full effect of the Affordable Care Act, I think, goes into place in 2014, and the data here says it's going to take three years, maybe longer, for people to start to manage their health care in a different way.
Well, they have to realize what they actually have and know that they can use it and then get used to using it, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think that's healthy, and that's the way big things move. You can't turn a ship around like you can turn a canoe around.
Not with the 300 and something million people, nope.
That's right. So now, I've always maintained I believe the wealthy should pay more for things in terms of taxes. They should pay their share, just should be greater. Still, I've always also believed, and I firmly believe, that anyone who has the industry, the entrepreneurship, the smarts, the drive to succeed and become wealthy, more power to them. They should be as wealthy as they can possibly be. Wealthy people already get the doctors they want and the health care they want for themselves and their families. Will it change at all for them? I think it'll cost them a little bit more, but will health care change for them?
I doubt it. You can always find a very good doctor who's willing to take care of people who pay the full bill, as they would say, outside of any network. So that'll still happen, I think.
So it will change for the poor and the middle class?
Correct.
Okay. Now, how will marginal families actually afford health care insurance?
Well, the margin's tough. I can tell you in Massachusetts, the least expensive health care plan I shop for us, so that we have a family of five, is $1,100 a month. That's the least expensive. The least expensive plan that is offered through the.
And that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
$1,000 a month for health care, $12,000 a year. What if they're making 30?
Right. Well,
what does that leave them? That plus rent, it sucks it all out.
Under $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Then they have. For a family of five, then they have programs to get you some support for that.
So percentage of your income, what would a marginal or just barely solvent family in terms of percentage of their income, what's it going to cost them?
Well, if it's 80,000, the cutoff is 80,000, so you're talking 12,000 out of 80, that's
about 15%.
Quarter? Something like a quarter, I think, if I do the math right.
No, I
don't. An eighth.
No, no.
12%.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
12% of your gross goes to your health care bill.
Okay, that's quite
not
a lot.
Not your house.
And that's gross.
That's gross.
Okay, now, you told me some interesting things about Harvard University and Tufts University and something you call vertical integration of health services. Why don't you tell us about that? It sounded quite interesting, actually.
Well, so in Massachusetts, there are a lot of very prestigious academic centers. Harvard has Mass General Hospital, which is one of the world leaders in a bunch of different things. Tufts has its own academic center that's very well respected. And these academic centers have gotten into health insurance as well as having very large teaching hospitals. And so when you go and shop for healthcare plans, there's a Tufts plan, there's a Harvard plan, there are some other places, and there's some other things that are going on in the healthcare economy that start to suggest that what's going to happen is vertical integration, which is a business term which just means these businesses are created where they cover everything from soup to nuts in a specific area. And so I don't know that it's going to happen, but what I believe is starting to happen is you're getting vertical integration. So you get insurers aligned with major teaching hospitals, which align with community doctors. So that instead of each piece having its own little impact, pieces all get put together into one big group that you then deal with on a single basis.
All right. We're going to have to take another break. I wanted to ask you I'll bounce the question out and then you can answer it when we come back. If someone is covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or the Veterans Administration, or their employer, I'm guessing that they're exempt from joining these things, but we'll come back to that. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Africa, Asia, or Antarctica, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be back with Bruce Roby in just a moment.
world and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. In the race for the White House, Newt Gingrich focusing on the South.
He's canceled his plans to travel to Kansas tomorrow so he can spend more time in Alabama and Mississippi, which hold primaries next Tuesday. This as Rick Santorum continues to claim that he is the conservatives' hope.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson, our military is looking into allegations against some members of the Afghan military, saying
members of the Afghan Air Force are moving illegal drugs and weapons across Afghanistan. In recent years, the Afghan Air Force has received some $2 billion in training and equipment from U.S. taxpayers. Afghan officials have denied all of the allegations.
Fox's Carter Powell in Kabul, and the biggest solar storm in years has started hitting Earth. Scientists say it has the potential to shake the globe's magnetic field while expanding the northern lights. The storm starting with a massive solar flare earlier this week. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Join your neighbors at WVOX's legendary, fun-filled annual St. Patrick's Day live broadcast. This year, we'll be celebrating on Friday, March 16th. A different date, but once again, we'll be at Dudley's Parkview Restaurant, 94 Hudson Park Road. That's right off Pelham Road and across the street from Hudson Park. Join Bill O'Shaughnessy, the WVOX staff, and your friends in the community on Friday, March 16th, noon to 5, for live interviews, tall tales, and tons of fun. This year's St. Patrick's Day celebration at Dudley's Parkview Restaurant on Friday, March 16th will, as always, be a fabulous day at a fabulous place. Dudley's Parkview Restaurant and WVOX radio station and their live St. Patrick's celebration continues to be a tradition looked forward to by the entire community. So come on over to Dudley's and join the fun on Friday, March 16th, beginning at noon.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
WVOX.
We are back. I would like to just repeat what Judy just said. The annual St. Patrick's Day broadcast will be live from Dudley's Restaurant here in New Rochelle on Friday, March 16th, the day before St. Patrick's Day, from noon until 5. I will be there, as I am every year. Mr. O'Shaughnessy is there. Don Stevens is there. We're all there. If you want to meet any of us, or if you just want to throw rotten tomatoes at us, whatever you want to do, just come. That's Dudley's, Friday, March 16th, noon to 5. Just stop in for a while. You don't have to be there the whole time. Come in for an hour, have a drink, have a sandwich, meet and greet and talk. We're just all friendly, and it's a big family. Okay, back to Bruce Roby. Are you still with us, Bruce?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now the question was, if someone is covered already, let's say a VA, a veteran, or someone who is old enough to be on Medicare or indigent enough to be on Medicaid, I presume they're exempt from participation in this plan.
Correct. They have their insurance elsewhere, and so that's fine.
So that would be both Massachusetts and national. So tell me, why has Mitt Romney backed away? Is that just a political thing to satisfy a conservative constituency that does not want the government to do anything?
Yeah,
I would guess.
I mean, fair. He didn't talk to me about it, but that would be my... you see what he does and what he did here, and they don't seem to actually align too well, but that seems to be what you need to do if you're trying to get the...
To get the nomination.
Nomination.
That's right. Are the people in Massachusetts in general happy having this health care plan?
About two-thirds of us seem to be pleased with it. There was a survey that came out in the last month that said about 65% of us, 63% of us say that this is a good idea, and about a third of us say it's not a good idea, and a few left over go, I don't care.
But in truth... people who are prosperous or at least comfortable, and let's say comfortable, they're going to have insurance anyway. So this really doesn't. It's more of a mandate for people who can't afford health insurance, right?
Well, it has an impact on younger people. right? Because if you're 26, 28, not married, you got no family, you're healthy, if you don't have employer insurance, what's the big rush to go out and get insurance? You know, because most of those people are relatively healthy.
Okay.
So for them, they have to join in.
Okay.
So the people on the margins and the young people are the ones that had to join up.
But I also noticed that people who are making over $200,000 or $200,000 a year for individuals, $250,000 for families, will actually be paying an extra 3.8% tax on investment income. So the plan does actually finance itself with that, and also with an excise tax, which begins in 2018, where insurance companies pay a 40% excise tax on the high-end insurance plans, which they call Cadillac plans.
Right. All that stuff is different. That doesn't happen in Massachusetts, is my understanding.
Okay. So now if the working class people and the less prosperous people are the ones who are mostly going to use this, why do they oppose it so much? I mean, there's a basic question here. Why do people vote against their own best interests so very often? Do you have any idea?
Well, some people vote against it because of money. I mean, the example we had before where $80,000 income, which is, you know, that's not nothing, and you're spending 12% of your gross on the health care insurance, that's a tough thing for many people to swallow, and you don't have a choice because they'll fine you if you don't have insurance.
Well, I looked up the fine. I think it's about $6,000 or $7,000 a year.
Right. So.
So that's not. Well, it's bad enough, but it's not as expensive as the health care. In any case, I would like to talk about your device. That's certainly very interesting, and that's what you focus on. You've created a surgically implantable device which alleviates back pain in cases that where it just didn't exist before. People either had back pain or suffered with an immobilizing surgical procedure. Why don't you tell us, we have about 6 minutes, why don't you tell us what the device is, what it does, and how it compares to treatments that are available today?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do is to help people go through a surgery that they currently go through, but get out the other end in better shape than they do now. So to improve people's lives. And the idea behind it was that a lot of these people have what's called a herniation. So a little piece of stuff pushes out on a nerve, and that causes really bad leg pain and some back pain as well. And so if you have that, the surgeon, and it doesn't get better on its own, a surgeon will go in and take that piece that is pushing on the nerve and take it out, close you up, send you on your way. The results from that surgery, about 60 to 70% of the people that go through the surgery are happy with how it turned out a year down the road. And so there's 30 to 40% of people who aren't, and those people have back pain, ongoing back pain that can be incredibly disabling, lead to loss of work, missed work, not being able to function fully in their lives.
So does that herniation recur? Is that what happens?
Sometimes it recurs in a minority of people, but for the bigger majority of people, they just have ongoing pain. And so what we're doing is we're putting in an implant that will prevent that pain, we believe, because our reading of all the science behind it leads us to believe that that pain comes from too much twisting, you know, the kind of motions you get when you turn your shoulders in one direction and you keep your hips pointed in another direction.
Well, of course, the spine is designed for that kind of motion.
Yeah, it is. But what the research shows is that in these patients, they move more in that direction at the level where they have the injury than people do normally. And that that motion causes the pain.
So you mean like the joint is loose, it allows more movement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in one direction.
And so this device will just stop it?
Yeah, so the device, the idea behind the device is to put in, is something that you can put in and just prevent that excess of motion. Because the pain is really coming from you pulling on, from the motion causing the stretching of the tissue. And if you stretch tissue too much, you get pain. I mean, that happens all the time, right? You
sure.
Do it to your knees, you do it to all sorts of joints all the time.
Sure.
And you get the pain and you go, oh, not going to make that motion.
Right.
Well, in your back, that's a lot harder to do. And so the idea behind the implant is to provide that resistance so that your body can't move in a way that causes the pain.
And it's better than fusion of vertebrae because it does allow movement. It just restricts
exactly.
That movement. Okay.
So this would be put in at the time of surgery. It would allow you to move normally in every other direction, actually in every direction, because it would bring you back to normal movements in this twisting direction.
Okay. Now this is, if I understand it correctly, it's in development. It's ready for a human trial?
This is in development. It's not approved by the FDA. We are about to start a clinical trial in Europe, which means we're going to put the device into 20 people.
Wow, cool.
Who volunteered to be in the study.
Cool.
We're going to follow them for a year, keep track of how they're doing, what their pain is, and then we go from there.
And that should help with the FDA approval if it all works out over there.
And exactly. So the
excellent.
You get a little bit of experience. You do a very well-run study so you can show the benefit of the technology. And then,
beautiful. Beautiful.
Then you can go on and do the next thing.
Okay, now... your background, you have done other prosthetic devices, knees and stuff. We have about a minute and a half. Can you just summarize what else you've done? Because this is not your first venture by far.
No, I started off actually in New York working at the Hospital for Special Surgery, designing, working with some really great people, designing total joint replacements, total knees, total hips, total shoulders,
wow.
Elbows.
Wow, elbows.
Toes. Yeah, a bunch of...
What was the thing you said, toes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never heard of toes being changed. Well, so you're just into joints, basically.
So I've spent my career working in the design and replacement of...
Joints.
Of a bunch of things. A bunch of devices for orthopedic and spine applications. So.
And how many patents do you hold, Bruce?
I have 16 patents at this point and another 12 applications.
And the device you've just described to us for the back, that's pending as well?
Exactly. That has a patent.
Excellent.
That's one of those 12.
Okay. Is there a website that people can look up if they'd like more information?
Well, they can contact me directly at brobie@aromedical.com.
That's brobie@aromedical.com. Okay, and if anybody didn't have a pen and they like that information, call me up and I will give it to you or email me through my website, environmentallysound.org. Bruce, I think we're just about out of time. It's been fascinating. I've learned every time I talk to you, I learn more, and I think I really understand your device now. It's great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us.
Bye.
Bye. I'd like to thank Bruce Robie for joining us on Environmentally Sound this morning. To come up with a unique idea is hard enough. To invent a device to address that problem is harder still. And then to research, raise money, and produce your device is really quite an accomplishment. Hats off to Bruce Robie for being that kind of man. Our thought for the week, it is better to stick to something than to have something stick to you. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A., perhaps even the world. Next up, Howard Sterman. Is he here? Howard Sterman is here. Next up is he. Thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy and Don Stevens for all you do. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.